Thessalonians. We are in chapter 3 today, and I have been preaching a series of sermons on reset since we opened back up and we're gathering together as a church. I started in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just kind of been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, because 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians are books written to a church that was probably only about a year old. And what we find from Paul's teaching them and writing letters to them about how a young church should operate, I thought that'd be a great example for us just to go back and kind of reevaluate things and start the church after the pattern and the example of the church at Thessalonica. So I'm going to read chapter 3 today, and after today I'm going to take a little bit of a break on this series. I have a couple of messages that I would like to give concerning some of the things that are happening in the world, in our nation in particular, and I would like to get these messages out before we have the November election and give you plenty of time to think about some of the things that are going on. So we'll leave it at that. So come next week, and I'm not sure which topic I'm going to hit yet, or I would tell you, so I'm working on a couple of things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We could call this Church Reset. I'm subtitling it Love on Steroids. All right, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer, in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, or love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Father, we come to you today. We realize that there are people here today that are suffering affliction. Lord, some lost loved ones, some have health issues, some perhaps even have financial difficulties because of the economy and things that are happening. Lord, we all need you. We all need your strength. And I pray today, Lord, that you would show us how we can gain that strength that we need to live our life despite the afflictions and the trials and the tribulations. But also, Lord, that we could take that even further. And after we've learned how to gain strength for ourselves, that we can be strength for others and help them to gain that strength. Lord, this is what the church is about. So help us, give us your grace, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like to read good fiction? Anybody? I said good fiction, you know, it's got to be good. The first rule for writing good fiction is that something has to go wrong. I mean, you don't have a story until something goes wrong. That's the way it is with life too, unfortunately. That's the way it works with trusting the Lord. We don't really understand faith until something goes wrong and we have to exercise that faith and learn to trust in God. And that's really what faith is. It's a matter of relying on the Lord when our story, when our life encounters a problem. You know, as I said before, a testimony has to have a test, right? The first word in testimony is test. You have to have a test, and then a testimony comes out of that. And that's what happened to these believers at Thessalonica. Into their story came tribulation, persecution, affliction. And because of this, Paul is anxious to know if their faith stood strong. Did they withstand the tribulation and the affliction? And he had this need to communicate to them. And this need to communicate was a result of his deep love that he had for them. We could say that Paul had love on steroids. Paul's love was a great love. It was a supernatural love. And if you look at verses 12 and 13 there, and that he prayed that the Lord would increase them and make their love abound to one another and for all men. And Paul says, even as I do for you, I'm an example. And he says, then to this end, may he establish or strengthen your hearts. Why? So that you can be blameless. You can be holy before God and the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Notice that Paul had an abounding, overflowing, strong love for these people. And in order for Paul to have this kind of love, he had to have some strength. And same is true in our life. If we are going to exercise this kind of love, it's going to take the strength that God gives us. It's going to take a strong supernatural ability. You notice there in verse 2 that Paul said they sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborers, in the gospel of Christ to establish. Here is the word sterizo, steroid. It means to strengthen. It means to establish. And then in verse 13, to this end may he establish or strengthen your hearts. And there is that word sterizo again. So it's interesting that at the beginning of this chapter and at the end of this chapter, he's talking about steroids. He's talking about sterizo. He's talking about strength. So strength brackets this chapter. It's at the beginning and it's at the end. And then even in verse 8, the middle of the chapter, he says, we live if you stand strong in the Lord. Now that's not the same Greek word, sterizo, but it does mean to have strength. So this whole chapter is about how we gain spiritual strength ourselves and how we can give that same spiritual strength to others. Let's face it, there are a lot of people today that are discouraged. They have problems, they have difficulties, and they need spiritual strength. We all need it. But what we can do is be a channel of that strength as well. You notice that there is a break between chapters 2 and 3, obviously. But these chapters are linked together by the first word in chapter 3, the word therefore. Paul is deeply concerned about these young believers. They face some serious problems. They need strength, and so do we. How do we get it? You know, our culture really is focused on strength, right? We don't care much for weakness. We all need strength. We all want it. But how can we get it? How can we get physical strength and spiritual strength and emotional strength? Well, in this chapter, we see that the Holy Spirit prescribes some steroids for us so that we can have this kind of strength. And we can learn from Paul's example of love on steroids. Actually, I'll give you the outline here right off the bat. Love is willing to do three things. And you need love on steroids to do these three things. You need to be involved. You need to be inconvenienced. You need to be willing to inquire. And you need to intercede. So be involved and inconvenienced, inquire and intercede. Those are the three things. And the Holy Spirit gives us three steroids to accomplish those three things. Okay, are we ready for the first thing here? Love on steroids is willing to be involved and inconvenienced. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, the great love chapter of the Bible, we're told that love is not self-seeking. Love seeks others. Now, the self-centered person is somewhat aloof and distant from people. He essentially wants to do things that are convenient for him or her. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Paul shows us the opposite of what a convenient kind of love is like. He says, therefore, when we could endure it no longer, when we couldn't stand it any longer, we haven't heard from you, we didn't know how you were doing. He said, I felt that it was good to be left at Athens alone. And really what he did was he sent Timothy back to see how they were doing. The first thing that he did was he got involved. And that's a prescription for strength. We need to be involved with each other. Now, the background of this story is Acts chapter 17. Paul had founded the church there. And he was probably there, as we said, 6 to 8 weeks. He's run out of town by the Jews who are persecuting them for preaching the gospel. From Thessalonica, they went to Berea. From there, they went down to Athens. And when Paul was at Athens, the suspense was killing him. And so he sent Timothy and Silas back to Thessalonica to find out what had happened to them. So Paul is left in Athens all alone. Remember I said Paul couldn't go back. Last week we talked about how Satan had hindered Paul from going back. There was some reason he couldn't go. So he couldn't go, but he sends Silas and he sends Timothy. And he's left in Athens alone. A sense of desolation comes over him. And then Timothy comes back later and joins Paul in Corinth. And it is from Corinth that Paul writes these two letters. But understand that the least convenient thing that Paul did was to remain at Athens alone. One thing you will notice if you read the life of Paul in the scriptures is that he hated to be alone. He was very rarely ever alone. He had ministry companions that he took with him. And he knew that the Christian life was never designed to be lived alone. You have got to be in touch with other individuals. You don't have the strength to live the Christian life alone. So Paul even had people always with him. And Paul hated the city of Athens. You know why? The city was filled with idols. It was said that there were more idols than people in Athens. Paul did not like to be in that city, especially alone. But he lays all of that aside in order for Timothy to be able to go to the Thessalonians. He said, I am willing to be inconvenienced so that you can be strengthened. And that's why Paul sent Timothy to establish their faith, to strengthen them in the faith, and to exhort them. And the reason that they needed this strengthening was because of these afflictions, these persecutions, these tribulations that had broken out against them. They're going through some tremendous times of pressure in their personal lives. And Paul here, he's showing us the heart of a father. He's showing us the love that a father has toward these new babes in Christ, these new believers. He doesn't send Timothy to find out if they're comfortable physically. He's more concerned about their faith. How are they doing spiritually? And that's where the emphasis, that's where it should be. And he's wanting their faith to be strengthened. That's what it says there in verse 2. Paul sent Timothy to strengthen them, sterizo, and to encourage them as their faith. Now, the word encourage means to come alongside someone. The word is actually translated encourage from the Greek parakleo, If that name sounds familiar to you, it should, because Jesus used that name to denote the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. It literally means one who's called alongside to help. So Paul says to Timothy, I want you to go and I want you to strengthen the faith of these new believers in Thessalonica, and I want you to walk alongside of them to help them during this time in their life. There is a need to walk beside each other. There is a need for constant strengthening and support and encouragement that is integral in the Christian community. There's always this tendency to portray the ideal individual as one who is strong and can stand alone. But that's really sad, because the Christian ideal, hear me, church, is actually one of needing support. I need you. You need me. You need each other. Do you realize the recognition of that is the beginning of health? The acceptance of weakness is the beginning of faith. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. The gospel of Jesus Christ knows nothing about the religion of convenience. It is inconvenient at Thessalonica to take the bodily beatings for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is inconvenient to be a Christian in that culture, just like it's inconvenient to be a Christian in our culture and getting increasingly more so. But again, it's really the eternal values that count, right? It's the eternal things that count. And so Paul is a person that's not self-centered, which is indicated by the fact that he doesn't keep distance between himself and the people. He does things that are inconvenient for him. What we need is we need personal involvement. We need to be involved in the lives of other people, because we strengthen each other. We need the strength we can bring into each other's lives. The second thing here is love on steroids is willing to inquire about other people. In verses 4 and 5, he said, I told you before that you would suffer tribulation. And it's happened just as I said, it came to pass, as you well know. But he says, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, when I just couldn't stand the suspense any longer, I sent Timothy to inquire about your faith. What's he concerned about? The tempter might have tempted them, and our labor might have been in vain. Problems can shake believers, but problems can shake unbelievers even more, or young believers rather, even more so. We know that trials, as we get older, more mature in the faith, we know that trials aren't unusual. But sometimes that takes young believers by surprise. But what's Paul afraid of? He's afraid that the tempter had tempted them. And when he uses that phrase at the end of verse 5, that the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain, it doesn't show up in English because we don't have the nuance of the verb to show it. But the word for Satan had tempted you is in the indicative mood, which simply means that it was a fact. Satan had tempted them. Paul had no doubt about that. But the phrase, our labor would be in vain, is in the subjective mood, which means that it was hypothetical, that Paul didn't really think that it happened. So in other words, Paul said, it's no doubt that the tempter has tempted you, but I don't think he succeeded. I don't think he tempted you and caused you to fall. I think you stood strong. And we could say today, the tempter tempted you this week. I don't think any of us here are above temptation. If you are, talk to me after the service today. I would love to know your secret. But we are tempted, but I'm confident the tempter didn't win. Right? You didn't give in to him this week, even though he tempted you. And that's what Paul's saying here. I'm sure that you were tempted, but at the same time, I'm pretty confident he didn't succeed, that you didn't give in to that temptation. Now, and the fact that you will stand. The Holy Spirit puts strength in our life so that we can stand in the midst of affliction, so we can stand in the midst of this temptation. By the way, this is the second mention of Satan. Here he's the tempter in Thessalonians. He was showed up in chapter 2 as the one who hindered Paul. He shows up here in chapter 3 as the tempter. And he's going to show up one more time later. That should be chapter 3. Or in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, where he shows up as the deceiver. But for verse 5, though, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to inquire about your faith. And that word faith is another key word in this chapter. We find it over and over and over again. Can you say faith? Good, because you're going to read faith here. Every time it's highlighted there in red, all right? Paul sent Timothy to establish and comfort you with regard to your
faith.
I sent to inquire about your
faith.
Timothy brought us good news of your
faith.
We have been encouraged about you through your
faith.
Do you have faith today? Do you have a strong faith in the Lord? This kind of faith, really, we could just say, is a personal walk with the Lord. Now, that's the context here. Verse 5 teaches us that in times of tribulation and affliction, we need one another. We need to stand strong against the tempter. And when we stand together, we're that much more stronger. Now, the second steroid that we need, the Holy Spirit prescribes to us, is the Word of God. And you notice there in verse 6 that just then, Timothy had come with news, good news from Thessalonica, good news about their faith and their love, that they had good memories of us. Can you imagine how this would have encouraged the heart of the Apostle Paul? Timothy comes back and says, Paul, they think very highly of you. There is a church that loves you. I know that you love them. Let me tell you, they love you in return. They have good memories of our time there. And they desire to see you as well. You want to see them. They want to see you. There's that desire back and forth. Now, you got to think this through for a minute. Timothy comes back. He gives Paul this word. What is the thing that Paul does in response? He writes them a letter. He writes 1 Thessalonians and later 2 Thessalonians, those letters that we have. What was Paul doing? He was giving them the word of God. Because what Paul wrote to them was under the inspiration of God. What we need in our life, if we are going to be strong, is not only do we need each other, that's number one. We need the support of each other. Number two, we need the Word of God. We need the strength that the Word of God can give us. And I need it daily, and I think you probably need it daily too. We need the strength that comes from God's Word. And we see here in the scriptures a lot about this. And in Acts chapter 14, verse 21 and 22, when they had preached the gospel, they gave the gospel to the city and made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the minds of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, to go through many afflictions, and thus enter the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 15, verse 32, Judas and Silas, being prophets themselves, exhorted the brothers with many words and strengthened them. So they gave them the word of God through prophecy, encouraging and strengthening those believers. By the way, that's a great verse for preachers. That's what I stand upon. He exhorted with many words. That's my excuse. That's my excuse. Did you notice that? You didn't even notice that. But it was the scriptures that strengthened them. Romans 16:25. Not to him who has power to establish you according to my gospel, according to the word and the preaching of the word, the preaching of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today that God's word is a spiritual steroid. Are you feeling weak? The Holy Spirit has prescribed God's word for you. And I like verse 8. I love verse 8. For now we live if you stand strong in the Lord. We live if you stand strong. It's like Paul was saying, I finally heard how you are, and now I can breathe again. It's like he'd been holding his breath this whole time, waiting for a word from Timothy on how they were doing. So these people needed spiritual strength. What did Paul do for them? He sent a man. He sent Timothy. He was willing to be inconvenienced, so he sent Timothy to them, and he remained alone. That's the first thing he did. The second thing that he did was he gave them the word of God. He gave them a word. He wrote them an inspired letter. And then the third thing is that love on steroids intercedes. It prays. Intercedes on behalf of others. I'm just going to go through the rest of these slides because we have something else here we need to do. But in verse 9, he says, for what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for our sakes before our God? We start prayer with thanksgiving. So that's some lessons here about prayer. Follow the example here of Paul. He began with a thankful heart. Goes what he told along with what he told the Philippians in Philippians 4:6. Be careful, don't be anxious, don't worry for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with what?
Thanksgiving.
Now let me ask you a question. Could you read that verse and leave out the words in red, leave out with thanksgiving, and have that verse make sense? You could. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. You could leave those words out and it makes sense. You could, but it's not wise. No, because thanksgiving is the first thing. We enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter his courts with praise. This is the way into the presence of God. And then he prayed frequently. Verse 10 says night and day. Paul prayed night and day for them. He prayed frequently for them. He prayed earnestly. Night and day, praying earnestly. You might see. He prayed dependently. He was dependent upon God. In verses 11 and 12, we see, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. This is our desire, but he says this is going to have to be God that does this. I am depending on God to make this happen. And may the Lord make you increase and abound. He says if it's going to happen, it's going to be the Lord's work. It's going to be the Lord's working in your life. And then he prayed specifically. He prayed there in verses 11 and 12 that God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. That was a specific prayer. He didn't just pray, God bless the Thessalonians. There was more work to that. He thought about what they really needed. And he prayed for that to happen. Lord, would you direct our way so that we can be together again? He's asking God to overcome that satanic hindrance that kept them from going back to Thessalonica. By the way, God answered that prayer in Acts chapter 20. And Paul did go back and was able to visit with these believers once again. But we need to pray to this end, that our hearts might be established, strengthened. There's the word sterizo, in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. And let me say this, the greatest love on steroids is God himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God's nature is love. It's not just an added character to his life. That's who he is. John said, God is love. And while we were yet sinners, you think about this, Christ died for us. You talk about love on steroids. While we were enemies of God, he should have had nothing to do for us. But the godly one died for the ungodly. And there is greater love than this, no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. He willingly laid down his life. He gave up his life. He died on the cross, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. He wanted to show you his great love, and he wanted you to experience that kind of love. He's the ultimate example of love on steroids. Have you accepted God? You know, if you accept God, you're accepting his love in your life. And it boggles the mind. I can't see why anybody wouldn't accept the God who loves them so much that he died for them. It blows my mind. But perhaps there's someone today that has not yet reached out to this God who loves them. I want you to know that God is extending a hand to you today. And that hand is the person of Jesus. And if you would reach up and if you would take the hand of Jesus, what he would do is he would bring you and the Father together and establish you in that love covenant that he has. And I would encourage you today, if you have not done that, to just reach up and take the hand of Jesus. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying for my sins on the cross. You didn't have to. I was undeserving. I was a sinner, but you loved me and you did it anyway. And when you do that, something happens inside of you. A miracle, a transformation takes place, a new birth. And you have the wonderful privilege of being a part of the family of God. So if you have not done that, that's where you need to start today. And then Christians, I just want to ask you, are you taking the prescription for steroids that the Holy Spirit has? Are you with other people? Are you ministering in other people's lives? Have those people minister in your lives? Are you in the Word? Are you reading God's Word, gaining strength day by day? And are you praying? Not just for yourself, but praying for others, because there is a tremendous blessing that comes when we pray for others. And that's the part of church that is so great. We can pray at home, but there's nothing like coming together as God's children, God's family, and experiencing that corporate power of prayer. My heart goes out today to churches who are... there's two churches that I know of today where the pastors are being threatened with arrest if they go ahead and have service today. Members of that congregation could be fined. And yet they said, we're going to have church because they realize how important it is to come together. And I tell you, I think what Satan is doing, Satan knows that when churches get together, the power of prayer and praise that is there, and he wants to shut it down. If you meet, don't sing, don't praise. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of the people, and it's praise that defeats the enemy. The psalmist said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength to still the enemy. And when Jesus came along, he quoted that verse, only he changed one word. He changed the word praise, or strength, to praise, because our strength comes from praise. Are you strong in the Lord today? If you're not, I think you know the prescription now, how to get strong in the Lord. And then our responsibility is, once we have strengthened ourselves, to be able to strengthen others, to help them in their Christian journey. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for those that are here today. I thank you, Lord, for the strength of the Holy Spirit and the prescription that he prescribes for us. Lord, if we are not taking that prescription, Lord, that we would just evaluate our lives right now and say, Lord, I purpose to take these steroids on a regular basis. Lord, and make me strong, not in an end to itself, but so that I can help others. Because truly, this is what the church, this is what the real church does. I thank you for this word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing real quickly, and then I'm going to ask a couple of men to come up here. Connor's family has asked if we could pray for him today, have him come up here. And he is headed to the University of Nebraska. He's going to be a Cornhusker. So Connor, come on. Come on up here. And Pastor Josh, if you join us up here, and then anybody else that would like to, let's lay hands on Connor today and pray that God would be with him in this next chapter of his life. Yeah, Dad, you might as well join us up here for sure. If one of you guys want to lead us all in prayer, please do. Feel free. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would be with Connor as he starts this next chapter of his life. Lord, I pray that you would use him as a light in this dark world, and that he would just let the glory of Jesus shine through his life each and every day,
yes,
and each and every moment. Lord, that I just pray that you would provide for him for his needs down there, the expenses of schooling and housing. And Lord, I just pray that you would show yourself mighty in his life and through his life, that he would bring home testimonies of what you've done. Lord, I just pray that you would be with him, that you would help him to grow in wisdom and knowledge, but especially in his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Go with him, we pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus'
name. Yes, Lord. Father, I thank you for your love that goes with Connor. Lord, I pray that he would keep you in the forefront of his life. Lord, that Satan would tempt him, but he would stand strong. I pray, Lord, that there would be testimonies that come from his life of how you've provided for him and strengthened him and helped him. School's not always easy. College is not always easy. But I thank you that he has you to rely on, to lean on, and that, Lord, you would be a support there. And I pray, Lord, that you would help him to find Christian friends that would encourage him and build him up, Lord, that he'd stand strong in the faith. Just anoint him in his studies, Lord, and in every area of his life. You would be Jehovah Jireh. You would be his provider. And we thank you for that, because we know certainly that you will accomplish this, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're welcome. We'll expect some reports. All right, I'm going to turn the service over to James and Ken. They've got some important information for us for today. That was a wake-up call.